There are different types of evil. There's what we call a natural evil. Natural evil is something like disease, tornadoes, hurricanes, viral pandemics, just like the coronavirus that we are experiencing these days. Then there's a moral evil. Human sin is moral evil. Then there is supernatural evil, evil that has to do with Satan and demons. And lastly, there's what we call eternal evil. Eternal evil, that is evil which will eternally be present in the lake of fire, where there will be Satan, his demons, and all those who are unrepentant sinners of all ages. Our focus today, the focus of our Bible study today, is on natural evil, evil caused by nature, such as we are dealing in our days. And I trust this study will strengthen our faith and trust in our Lord's power, care, and goodness for us as we see Him in full control, even over the scariest elements of nature. Here's a question for us to consider. Can the Lord allow His children to face evils in their lives that are caused by nature? For example, like experiencing birth defects, illnesses, sicknesses, famines, earthquakes, tsunamis, etc. Yes or no? Think about it for a moment. Yes or no? What do you think? How about this? Can the Lord be the direct cause of making His children experience such kinds of natural evils? That is, natural evils that we are referring to, nature-caused evils, evils which are related to nature? Well, the answer, of course, in order to know what's the answer, we have to go back to Scripture. For example, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf?" You see that? Who makes him mute or deaf? Or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? What the Lord is saying, that there are times when we did not cause a physical infirmity to ourselves. When someone is born as such, it was because of God's intention. And there's a reason, or at least a reason or set of reasons, that God alone knows as to why He even created someone with such birth defects. But yet to us, that is a natural evil. A natural evil because it's contrary to the norm, to the nature of things. Yet the Lord shows by His statement to Moses that He is someone who has full control over nature, including even on something which we may consider it as a natural evil. For example, in verses 10 to 13, if we were to read the context of that discussion, it says, Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." He didn't want to go to serve the Lord, to lead the people out of Egypt as the Lord asked. And that's why the Lord says, "Look, Moses, you are talking about your speech infirmity. You are talking about your speech disability. But I am the Lord. I am able to do what needs to be done to get my purposes fulfilled, even through you." And then the Lord tells him, "Then go, and even I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." The Lord is able to overcome our weaknesses, even when we are faced with natural evils, or even we have manifestations of natural evil, some sort of a natural evil. And again, when we talk about evil, we're not talking about sinfulness. God is not sinning when He creates someone with a birth defect, for example. And we know this, for example, from John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, It says, verse 1, he passed by, Jesus was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. It was not the fault of the guy who was born blind, neither the fault of the parents. They didn't do anything to deserve this as well for their son. But this was God's doing because God had a purpose. He had a reason. He had a purpose to glorify himself through the life of this man and, of course, to lead him to Christ by faith. So, to answer that question, the second question, can the Lord be the direct cause of making his children experience such kinds of natural evils? Yes, it could happen. It could happen. He could be the cause for his glory and for our eventual ultimate good that he may allow such natural evils. But how about this question? How about this question? Would obedience to the Lord guarantee for us that every life situation of ours will be free of trouble? I say that again because this is important. Would obedience to the Lord guarantee for us that every life situation of ours will be free of trouble? Well, let's wait for the answer, because the answer is in the text that I'll be going through. It's in Mark chapter 4. Our text in this Bible study is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Verses 35 to 41. And this story is happening after a whole day of teaching on the parables. After a whole day where the Lord taught on the parables, on some of the parables, basically this situation happens. This, some sort of a crisis happens to the disciples. It's a natural evil, as we shall see. It's a natural evil which will happen to them. And the Lord has a purpose even through this natural evil. Look at verse 35. First, let's consider verses 35 and 36. And that before the storm. These verses speak of the time before the storm, because this story is the storm, is one of the two storms on the Lake of Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee. Before the storm, and one may think that it's going to be just another day. Remember, these were experienced fishermen, but they will be caught in a serious storm. They thought it's going to be just another day, but it is actually, it's going to be a day of test, a day of testing, a day of testing. Why? Because the Word of God says this, verse 35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side, the Sea of Galilee. That's where they're going to be. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And there arose, verse 37 says, a fierce gale of wind. But before that, let's focus on one thing in verse 35. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples, to his followers, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. Don't miss the importance of this statement. Don't miss the implication of this statement. It's very important. You see, it was because of their obedience that they will soon be caught in a serious storm. Their situation was unlike Jonah. Remember Jonah? He got into the storm because of his disobedience. But the disciples were not disobedient. So to answer question number 3, would obedience to the Lord guarantee for us that every life situation of ours, and hence I say this again, every life situation of ours will be free of trouble? The answer is no. The answer is no. Why? Because it's not because the Lord is bad. He wants to bring some kind of a harm to us. No. because he is good. He's testing our faith so that our faith and trust in him will grow even during crisis times, even in times like we are experiencing these days. He says to them, let us go over to the other side. This was intentional on his part because he had a purpose for his disciples. And that purpose was, as we shall see, to augment, to strengthen their faith in him and in his power, in his sovereign goodness. Verse 37. Now, before the storm, verse 35 and 36, verses 37 to 39, we see the Lord and the disciples during the storm. During the storm. The disciples thought it's going to be just another day, but it's not going to be just another day. It's going to be a day of testing. It's going to be a day of trouble. Of course, temporarily, with purpose. The Lord has intention for us when he allows us to go through storms in life. Here's a principle we need to live by. It is better to live obedient lives and still face our storms, which God in his sovereign wisdom ordains for us to experience, rather than be free of trouble and yet never know what it means to face storms which he has willed them for our good. I'll say this again. It is better to live obedient lives and still face our storms, which God, in his sovereign wisdom and goodness, ordains for us to experience, rather than be free of trouble and yet never know what it means to face storms, which he has willed them for our good. Why we say so? Why we say so? Why is it better to live obedient lives in the will of God than live comfortable lives outside the will of God? You see, the answer that we give to such a question is important to our faith. Because every single one of our stormy experiences in life is making us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Every one of these storms which we face, consider this time that we are all living in, some sort of a storm in life. Maybe you're experiencing right now a job shortage. Maybe you don't know when you are going to be able to pay your next bill or your next rent or mortgage. Whatever you are facing, or maybe you're scared that this virus can get the better of you. Whatever you are facing, know this. We owe the Lord obedience and trust, no matter what happens. That's our part. The rest is up to him to look after us and to care for us according to his sovereign power and goodness and grace. Would you say that every single storm in life is the purpose of the Lord for you and for me? When he has allowed it, he's trying to work his purposes out through them, through each of them, in your life and in my life. If you would say yes, of course, we would say the same for his disciples. That is, it was the Lord's purpose. It was his intention. It was his word which got them into that trouble. He was the one who said, let's go over to the other side. Don't you think he knew what was going to happen? Or maybe he did it in order to test the faith of his disciples. He may have allowed it in order to test the faith of his people. Just like the situation we are living in now, our faith is being tested. If it's not growing in obedience and trust before him, then we have to check our hearts and we have to recalibrate our faith, so to speak, more toward faith and trust in him, rather than to draw away from him by doubt and disobedience. The disciples eventually will come to know that this was the Lord's purpose. The text will not say that, but eventually they will realize that, like we realize eventually in life as to why the Lord allowed something like this in my life, so that to make me more like Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That's what Romans 8, 28 and 29 says. God causes all things to work for good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose, because it is His work. It is His work to make us more conformed to the character, the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that is happening, even now, is working its way to make us more like Christ if we are called according to His purpose and if we love Him. In Luke chapter 8, a parallel passage to this text in Mark 4, 35 to 41, it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 23, that the Lord Jesus fell asleep. You see, as someone who is fully God and fully man, He got tired after a long day of teaching, ministering. After a long day of serving, He got tired and He slept. You know, it reminds me of Psalm 4, verse 8, which says, Psalm 4, verse 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." You see, when someone trusts in the Lord, he is even able to sleep in the midst of a storm, of a crisis. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had full confidence in His Father. He fully trusted the goodness and care of His Father. And the same thing applies to every one of us. When we are faced with our own versions of storms in life, can we put our heads on our pillows and say, "Lord, I trust You. I trust You. Let me sleep, knowing fully well that You are looking over me as I sleep even." And then notice what happens. Notice what happens. After facing the storm, in verses 37 to 39, of course, the disciples will react. They will react. They will not remain silent because they're desperate. In verse 37, it says, "There arose a fierce," that is, a great gale of wind, "and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up." Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing? Do You not care that we are perishing?" You see, these apostles had already seen the Lord heal the sick and the paralyzed and the exorcisms that He had done already in the first few chapters of the Gospel of Mark. Yet they question Him. It is a shame to them. And the same thing we could say of us. It is a shame on us all. Don't we act as such when we are faced sometimes with challenging storms? Of course He does care. Of course He does care. He is testing our faith in the midst of trouble. And He is looking to see how we will react. Not for His knowledge. He has omniscient knowledge. He knows what we are made of. He knows our faith, the level of our faith, the intensity of our faith, the depth of our faith. But our responses to our challenges in the storms of life will reveal how strong is our faith toward Him. And that matters for us to know and for us to see our faith, the weakness of our faith, exposed so that we may work by God's grace toward having our faith to grow in Christ, in His Word, in His promises, in His goodness. "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" Of course He does. Of course He does care. "And He got up," says the Word of God in verse 39. And this is His divine intervention. "He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still, be muzzled, be silenced.' And the wind," died down and it became," notice, "perfectly calm." When Christ stills storm in your life and in my life, He doesn't do half-hearted jobs. He does not do partial jobs. He does them fully. He fully gives a perfect calm, a perfect peace, as He does here in Mark 4, verse 39. Before the storm, they thought it was going to be just another day. During the storm, they found out it was not going to be just another day. And after the storm, in verses 40 and 41, They did recognize it's definitely not another day, but it was a day of transformation, a transformation of faith toward Christ, a faith which grew in Him, in the worship of Him. The rebuke in verse 40 is designed to transform the minds and the hearts of the disciples toward the power and care of the Lord for them. Notice the rebuke in verse 40. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Where's your faith? They became, verse 41, very much afraid and said to one another, they were more afraid now than they began. They were more afraid now in facing the God of all the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, than they were afraid in the midst of the storm. They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, after the storm, their mindset, their faith toward the Lord has changed, has been transformed. And the Lord's rebuke is designed to transform our hearts and minds toward him, toward his goodness, toward his care, toward his almighty sovereign power, that he cares for every one of his children. We need the stormy tests. We need the stormy tests. We need the stormy tests. Why? First, to show to ourselves the depth or level of our faith toward the Lord. Number two, we need the stormy tests to strengthen or solidify our faith in the Lord, in His sovereign power over nature, and every virus included, in order that our faith in His care may grow, that God cares for His own children. And third, we need the stormy tests to strengthen our understanding of Him, just like it happened with the disciples in verse 41. It led to the true knowledge of who the Son of God is before their very eyes. Yes, they had seen many miracles already, but here, their faith in Him even grew more because they said with a reverent fear. This was a reverent fear. They were not afraid that they were going to lose their lives, just as it was at the time when they were in the midst of the great storm. No, this was a fear of reverence, a fear that every human being must give to God, a reverent fear toward God that we must give. This is the kind of fear that we must have before the Lord. "Who is this?" they said. Now they came to understand him as he must be understood. "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, the true knowledge of our God and Savior will lead us to revere him, to fear him in truth, and to worship him in truth and in spirit, to worship him with reverent fear. Just like in the other story, it happened in Matthew chapter 14, in the other story on the lake, in the other stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, it happened with the disciples. We read in Matthew 14, verses 31 and 33, it says this. Matthew 14, verses 31 and 32, 33. "Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of Peter and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' And those who were in the boat..." Eventually, of course, first verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. In this case, the Lord did not have to say anything, did not have to hush. The wind stopped. "And those who were in the boat," his disciples, worshiped him. The storms of life, the crises that you have, are designed when God intentionally permits them in your life and in my life. They are designed, every one of them, to draw us closer to Him so that we may understand Him better, to fear Him properly, to revere Him, to increase our faith in Him so that we may worship Him in the right way. And the disciples did that. They said, as He got into the boat, they worshiped Him, and they said, "You are certainly God's Son." No one else can do that. Only Jesus can do that. That's what the stormy tests in life can do. That's what they can do to every one of us as His children. When we trust Him, when we do not complain or become bitter in our specific quote-unquote crisis situations, our faith will grow as we put our confidence, our full confidence, our full hope and assurance in Him. He will be there for us. He will help us. He will comfort us. He will deliver us at the right time. And our job is, our duty is, to continue to maintain full confidence and hope in our Lord's goodness and care, because He's always in control. He's sovereign over every situation. So whatever you're going through right now, you know what to do. You know how to stay safe. You know that in the Lord Jesus Christ is full safety as you walk with Him. So be safe. Walk with Him. Trust Him so that you won't lose sleep, so that you won't worry, so that He, by His Spirit, will work out His peace and His comfort and His joy in any of our troubled hearts, in case there's any troubled hearts as such in our midst as God's children. If it is not by our choice or doing, maybe it's someone else's thing, just like it is the case with the coronavirus. We did not bring this upon ourselves. It's not by our choice, not by our doing. Guess what? The Lord God allowed something like this in your life and in my life, even now, even in these days, so that He will make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our faith as we continue growing in Him, in faith and in obedience and in trust. Therefore, don't miss the opportunity to thank God for the storms which He may bring into your life. Even nature-caused, quote-unquote, storms, which are some sort of natural evil. Even nature-caused storms have their place to make your faith and my faith stronger in our Savior, in our Christ, in our Jesus. He desires to have us grow in our walk before Him. So, seize the opportunity. Grow in Him. Let your faith increase in the knowledge that He is the sovereign one and the good one and the caring one, and He will be there to deliver us, and He is there expecting of every one of us full obedience and trust and worship as we acknowledge that He is our God, our Lord, our King. The Lord Jesus Christ can fully be trusted in the storms of life, not just in the disciples' lives back then, but even today, in your life and in my life. In His name we say, Amen.